My name is Rip Van Wagner from the lovely village of Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC, ACRA, Catskill and More, 90.7 FM.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members, and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Jennifer in San Francisco, California. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Molly Burke reports in the Times Union that former Representative Liz Cheney, a Republican from Wyoming, this week pointed out Representative Elise Stefanik's reversal of opinion on the events of January 6, 2021. On that day, Stefanik called the attempted coup a, and I quote, tragic day for America, end quote. Stefanik, who represents Rensselaer County and the rest of the 21st Congressional District, also originally condemned the, and I quote, dangerous violence and destruction that occurred today in the United States Capitol, end quote. She also called for the prosecution of, and I quote, perpetrators of this un-American violence and destruction, end quote. But now she calls those perpetrators, and I quote, hostages, end quote. Stefanik has also said recently that, and I quote, baseless witch hunt investigations, end quote, into the actions of those who stormed the U.S. Capitol were threats to democracy. Stefanik also complained about the prosecution of criminals who attempted to overthrow a fair election, calling it the, and I quote, weaponization of the federal government, end quote. Cheney pointed to Stefanik's original statement as a, and I quote, rare moment of honesty, end quote, and said, and I quote, one day she will have to explain how and why she morphed into a total crackpot, end quote. In her book, Oath of Honor, A Memoir and a Warning, Cheney wrote that Stefanik was once a, and I quote, reasonable and thoughtful, end quote, member of Congress, but that, and I quote, she had undergone a dramatic transition into a Trump sycophant over the past 18 months, end quote. Stefanik spokesperson Alex DeGrasse said, and I quote, on International Holocaust Remembrance Day, Liz Cheney is spending her Saturday morning having a mental breakdown looking at archives of years-old press releases. Liz is lashing out as usual because she hates that the American people sent her packing and she will never hold an elected office again, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Andrea Mako reports in Porcupine Soup about a massive redevelopment of the Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in Round Top that is going before the Cairo Planning Board. The proposal would include approximately 126 units, a 91,500-square-foot main lodge, tennis courts, pools, a restaurant, bar, helipad, and 288 parking spaces on 102.31 acres. The proposal from RCBG JV Manager LLC of San Francisco, California, and real estate and hotel developers Donald Chick and R. Henry Cortmonk of California are named within the numerous documents submitted to the town. The Massman family ran the property as a family business for five generations, but sold it last year. It previously included an 18-hole golf course, 22 lodging rooms, a restaurant, a club, and clubhouse, but the golf course is not included in the redevelopment plans. The proposal says the project will result in an increase in traffic, but, and I quote, "We expect the existing traffic control at the area intersections, stop signs, will be adequate in managing future volumes," end quote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. David Robinson reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that New York's slow rollout of adult-use cannabis retail stores may be further delayed with a new lawsuit alleging the state is discriminating against white men in its licensing of stores. An Onondaga County-based company, Valencia AG, filed an anti-discrimination lawsuit in federal court last week, claiming in part that state laws and regulators unjustly favor non-white races and ethnicities in awarding cannabis business licenses. When legislators legalized recreational cannabis in 2021, they prioritized business licenses for those harmed by prior decades of racially biased enforcement of cannabis prohibition. The application process for retail licenses is now open to all applicants, but New York continues to favor social and economic equity when considering licenses. Valencia AG wants unspecified damages and is currently paying $2,000 per month to lease business space while it waits to get a license. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, January 31st. Local early morning temperatures range from 24 degrees in Tannersville to 31 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 34 degrees. No snowfall was recorded yesterday, and today will be pretty much the same. Cloudy, but not snowy, high of 39 at 3 p.m. Overnight, that mercury drops to 28 degrees. Tomorrow, things get mixed up. We get a high of 43 degrees and a misty afternoon with some isolated rain. Overnight, that turns to light snow and we get a low of 33. Precipitation ends by sunrise on Friday, which will have a high of 40. Saturday will be dry and sunny with a high of 37. Sunset today will be at 4:53 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:05 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 433 kilometers per second with a thin density of 4 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 53, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime. Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
Big deal, I'm still alone.
This Thursday will be the Thingularity Radio Show at 7 p.m. here on WGXE. And we're going to talk about all the things that Twitter won't show you.
Hello, WGXE listeners. This is Kelly McCon. Campbell Hudson is hosting its monthly dinner on Tuesday, February 6th at 5:30 in our Solaris building, 360 Warren Street. Come experience community and meet new people and old friends over a freshly prepared meal made by our local volunteers. Everyone is invited and no one will be turned away. We'll be glad to see you there, and please bring a friend.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The best option of a bad series of choices is going to be to hit something that is very important to the Iranians, but it is not something that strikes at the core of the regime or at the core of some of their capabilities.
Retired Lieutenant General Mark Hertling told CNN there are choices, most of them bad, for how the U.S. can respond to the drone strike that killed three service members Sunday. The Iranian-backed Iraqi militia that was likely behind the strike says it's suspending attacks on U.S. forces. President Joe Biden told reporters he's decided on a response, but wouldn't give details. Biden has been vocal about keeping the war in Gaza from becoming a wider conflict. Former U.N. ambassador presidential candidate Nikki Haley took the opportunity to criticize what she calls Biden's inability to protect the country.
Why did it have to come to this? 165 strikes. Why was there a second strike? Why wasn't something done in the very beginning? And my husband's deployed. We expect America to protect them. And Joe Biden did not protect those soldiers.
Biden is expected in Michigan today, where many in the large and politically important Arab American community are enraged by his support for Israel. The president can expect a warm greeting by the United Auto Workers, but there were protests against him even at the union's endorsement rally last week.
This is your campaign. That same message has defined my presidency. I'm determined. No, here's what it did.
Some Michigan workers say they might not back Biden even if they think he's far better than former President Donald Trump. UAW President Sean Fain cited Biden standing on picket lines during last year's successful strike as decisive.
Joe Biden bet on the American worker while Donald Trump blamed the American worker. Our endorsements must be earned. Joe Biden has earned it.
A Delaware judge is voiding the $56 billion compensation package for Elon Musk, CEO of electric car maker Tesla. Ruling in a shareholder lawsuit, the judge called the largest such package in U.S. corporate history unfair. The company's share price fell 3% on the news. Missouri Senator Cori Bush says she is cooperating with Department of Justice investigations regarding her husband's employment as her private security. The progressive Democrat describes the charges as politically motivated.
Organizations have lodged baseless complaints against me, peddling notions that I have misused campaign funds to pay for personal security services. That simply is not true. I have complied with all applicable laws and house rules.
Hiring private security is permissible, and campaigns can pay family members who provide a bona fide service. Threats against members of Congress have soared since the January 6th insurrection. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While we wait for the U.S. Supreme Court to rule on former President Trump's appeal to the Colorado 14th Amendment ballot eligibility decision, we have updates on other recent state cases. In Massachusetts on January 29th, the state's ballot law commission ruled against two challenges, saying that the body did not have jurisdiction. In Maine, a court kept Trump on the ballot after the Secretary of State's decision to remove him, pending the U.S. Supreme Court's appeal in February. An Illinois Board of Elections hearing officer said Tuesday that the Board of Elections can only rule on Illinois election code matters, not the U.S. Constitution, and recommended dismissing the case. But Capital News Illinois reports that the judge also said that if the board chose not to dismiss, quote, President Trump engaged in insurrection within the meaning of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and should have his name removed from the March 2024 primary ballot in Illinois. States having already dismissed challenges include Washington, California, Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, and New Hampshire, some of which could be reconsidered based on the outcome of the Supreme Court's decision. 10 more minor cases remain pending. Several others have been withdrawn by the plaintiffs, according to Lawfare. We have links to more information on these challenges at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Follow us on Facebook at American Democracy Minute.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 512-7509.
Yeah. If you want me to smile. Calvin, please, I'm gone. Forget reaching me by phone, because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. We got to get in straight. How could I ever be late when you're my woman taking up my time? Shape me again. I hope that you haven't been the kind of person you really are now. I'll be so good. I wish I could get the message over to you now.
The sun fell down. You kept it going.
Just say it like you mean it. 2024 new music from Sleater Kinney. That is Say It Like You Mean It on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking with Emily Ledyard, who is the advocacy coordinator for Feed in New York. And this week, they held a press conference urging the governor, state lawmakers to expand school meals, universal school meals for everybody. So Emily, maybe can you walk us through what is the actual proposal that you're hoping the legislature and the governor adopt?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, thank you for having me. I'll also just clarify that the coalition is the Healthy School Meals for All New York Kids Coalition that put on the press conference, but we were there as a partner. But in terms of the ask for the legislator, we're looking for New York State to close the gap. So in the fiscal year 2024 state budget, New York State invested $134.6 million to expand free school meals through the federal community eligibility provision, the CEP expansion. But that only covers 88% of New York State students. We're looking to cover the rest. So to close the gap, it'll be an estimated $90.4 million that we're asking to cover the rest of the students.
And I assume that actually the federal government picks up a significant portion of this. The state is making a contribution. The feds are making a contribution.
Yeah, that is correct. So the federal community eligibility provision, the CEP, there's a new CEP state subsidy. That's where the $134.6 million is going to. And then we're looking to add additional money to that state subsidy as well.
So my understanding, the prison rule is if you're in a school district and suddenly 25% of the students are eligible for school meals, and they can basically give school meals to everybody, and you're trying to expand that or take advantage of that?
Yeah, that's correct. That 25% threshold is really crucial. There's a lot of schools where they're at 24%. So they have students that are eligible. For example, over 320,000 students across the state are eligible for this program. But because their school doesn't hit the 25% limit, they're unable to receive free school meals.
And I understand there's about 650 schools statewide that fall into that criteria?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's crucial. I mean, one in six New York kids face hunger. So these school meals are really crucial and important for their success.
So how has the governor, responded to this? And is the concern just the money that's involved? Or seems like a no-brainer, especially if you're concerned about ending hunger among children, which most people tell you, of course, we want to end hunger among children.
Right, absolutely. I think the money is the largest issue here. The Department of Budget right now is really going through the ringer trying to manage the budget, and so asking for an increase is difficult, but we think that this fight is worth it and that there's enough support both from organizations, from voters. 77% of New York voters support state funding for free school meals, and we have over 285 plus organizations that are part of this coalition working towards this fight.
When you talk about school meals, they include both breakfast and lunch?
Yes, that's correct.
And, what's the, how do the students like these breakfasts, by the way? And are they good nutritionally these days?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who participated in the program throughout the entirety of my K-12 education, yeah, I mean, they're good food, I know it's not perfect, but it's good food. It's USDA qualified food. It has gone through regulations and standards, nutritional standards. So it's good quality food. And additionally, what we're hoping to do by passing this is that it builds capacity for farm to school programs. So we're getting more nutritional food, locally grown food into schools as well.
And how do teachers and the teachers union, like NYSA, do the teachers come out in favor of this? Are they helping with the effort?
Yeah, absolutely. They were actually at the press conference on January 29th. They were a huge supporter, and it's really great to have them a part of the coalition.
Has other states done this? Would New York be the first, or are the other states already doing this?
So there's 8 other states doing it currently, a couple in the Northeast, a couple out in the West, all over the place. We're really an outlier here. We got to get this passed. There's 8 states already.
Now, most of the listeners know, I did anti-hunger work, for a long time. And, I know one problem's in the schools where students had to individually apply to get certified to receive free school lunch and school meal. There was often a stigma, especially as you got into the older grades, you didn't want to be identified as the poor kid. Or, for the schools, the 650 that still, require students to fill out the individual applications, is there a difference between participation rates based on age, and are a lot of students still not applying even though they're eligible?
Yes. Yeah. So some students are not applying because of that stigma. That stigma is really, really crucial. And some students will apply and receive free lunch, but not eat breakfast. I was one of those kids because breakfast is one of those meals that most students eat at home. So if you received free breakfast, it was noticeable and you would be targeted for bullying more frequently. So yeah, the stigma is really crucial in preventing people from applying and also preventing students from receiving the benefits as well.
So has any of the legislative leaders yet committed to make sure that's in the budget, like Senate Majority Leader or the Assembly Speaker?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest with you, on their confirmed support, but we do have support both in the Assembly and the Senate on this. And the fiscal year 2024 state budget included that $134.6 million because of our coalition and because of large support in the legislature. So we think we have the support to get it done this year. We just have to keep pushing.
I was impressed when I heard that dollar figure last year and you got it passed. It showed, there's an awful lot of support for this. If people want to find out, more about the program, maybe when they have some kids that might be eligible, or, if they want to, contact their legislator and say one way or the other whether they think this is a good idea, how can they get that type of information?
Yeah, good question. So that information will be found on the state website. You can look up your senator or assembly member. And also, if you're interested in learning more about the Healthy School Meals for All Coalition, it's just Healthy School Meals for All. And additionally, Feeding New York State, we also have some good information as well.
Now, you may have done this earlier in the interview, but what are some of the positive impacts that students in school see when, in fact, you're having, universal school meals, better class attendance, kids paying attention more, not falling asleep?
Yeah, there are a ton of benefits. So I'll name as many as I can, as quickly as I can. It improves academic outcomes. There's studies that show that it boosts test scores, cognitive function, academic achievement, and school attendance. There's support for students' mental health, reducing anxiety and depression. It provides healthy nutrition, providing nutrition that otherwise wouldn't be accessible in food deserts. Additionally, for the grocery bill for families, it saves $150 per month per child. So this is important for all families, all children everywhere. It's crucial for their ability to succeed in the classroom. It's crucial for their ability to develop a healthy relationship with food. And it's crucial for all of our children's. New York voters believe so. 285 plus organizations believe so. The legislature believes so. It's time to get it done.
So yeah, a little bit over a minute left. So I'll sort of ask a throwaway in the interview question, what haven't I asked they need to share? But also, you did point out this part of a broader coalition on the school meals, but are there other things that Feeding New York is particularly hoping to see happen this year?
Yeah, one of the crucial things we're looking for is to increase the SNAP minimum benefit. So currently, the minimum benefit for SNAP, you're never going to believe this, it's $23 a month. That's not going to get you anything. That can't even cover a week of groceries. So we're trying to increase that. New Jersey, we saw in 2024, they increased it to $95 a month. We're hoping to increase it to $100 a month. So that's one of the larger things. We're also looking to get funding for some anti-hunger programs, HIPNAP, Nourish New York. We're looking to do everything we can to support New Yorkers.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking to Emily Ledyard with the, among other things, Feeding New York, and this has been Mark Tunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
This is Bria Barthel for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Most listeners are probably aware of the fact that a near total eclipse of the sun can be viewed in the Capital Region and beyond on Monday, April 8th. My guest today is Valerie Rapson, Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy at SUNY Oneonta. I first heard of Dr. Rapson. I'm a member of Friends of Five Rivers, a nature group that supports the Five Rivers Environmental Education Center in Del Mar. And on Saturday, February 3rd, from 2 to 4 p.m., Dr. Rapson will be doing a presentation at the Friends of Five Rivers annual meeting. So I thought it would be nice to have her on. And once you hear her, she's so lively, I think you're going to want to say, okay, get me to Five Rivers on Saturday. Valerie, welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thanks so much for this opportunity. It's great to be here with you.
So first, what the heck is an eclipse?
Oh yeah, we're super excited anytime that there's a lunar or solar eclipse coming, and we've got this solar eclipse coming up on April 8th. Basically, what we get to observe from Earth's perspective is the moon appearing to cross in front of the sun and block out either a majority or in this case, all of the sun's light if you happen to be standing in the right position to be able to see that.
We had a solar eclipse just a few years ago in 2017. What's different about this one?
Yeah, we did. So back in 2017, the path of totality where the moon completely covers the sun crisscrossed across the United States. But every time these eclipses happen, the path is a little bit different. So those of us in New York are really excited this time because the path of totality does cross part of New York State. So if you travel a little bit north or west of the Capital Region, you'll be able to see that total solar eclipse phenomenon.
I was trying to figure out how the heck a small moon blocked out a big sun. And then I realized, oh, well, if I move my fist across my face, that it blocks out more than just the size of the fist, the farther away it is.
Yeah, it all has to do with perspective and distance, right? The moon is really small, but it's also a lot closer than the sun. And nature kind of gave us this beautiful thing where it's just right. The moon appears to be just the right size to cross in front of the sun.
What makes us get 95% and Buffalo area get 100% if we both have the sun and we both have the moon?
That's a great question. So everybody would get to see totality if everything was lined up kind of in a flat line in outer space. But if you imagine the sun, the earth, and the moon is tilted with respect to the plane of the solar system, and the moon's orbit is also tilted a little bit with respect to that same plane. So basically, not everything is lined up exactly in a straight line. So because of all of these tilts, you have to be in exactly the right place to see the moon completely cover up the sun. If you're a little bit of in a different location in New York State or within the United States, then the angle that you're looking at will be different, and the moon is only going to partly block out the sun during the eclipse.
And I was surprised to see how long the process takes. I was looking at a site, and it said that in Albany, things begin on April 8th at 2:12, it reaches maximum at 3:26, and it ends at 4:36. 2.5 hours?
Yeah. We get to experience it for quite a while. Basically, what you have to wait for is the moon to move through its orbit around the Earth. And at that 2:00 time frame in the beginning, the moon is just starting to appear to touch the edge of the sun. And then it slowly moves across the face of the sun. Around 3:30, you'll have that maximum point or totality. And then the moon's got to keep shifting. So it's going to kind of pass over the face of the sun back on the other side. So the whole process does take about 2.5 hours.
How many superstitious traditions are you doing to try to keep it from being foggy or rainy that day?
Oh, so many, right? All of our students are doing, you know, no rain dances, whatever they can come up with. We definitely want it to be clear that day for sure. There's about a 50-50 chance based on historic cloud coverage that New York State will be clear versus cloudy.
And there are special tips for viewing. I guess sunglasses, since there's no sun, won't work. What's a better approach?
Yeah, you definitely want to make sure that you observe the sun safely during any eclipse. So you can get special solar eclipse glasses that block out over 99.999% of the light, which is way more than regular sunglasses. You can also use telescopes with special solar filters. And here at Oneonta, we're testing out something cool. We're actually going to observe the solar eclipse with a disco ball.
I'm sorry, can you say that again, please?
Yeah, a disco ball, right? So imagine this. You're standing outside. It's a beautiful sunny day because it's going to be sunny on the eclipse, I promise. And you put this disco ball outside. The sunlight's going to come down. It's going to bounce off the little mirrors of the disco ball. And it's actually going to make a projection onto the ground, onto a nearby wall. And it's those projections that we can look at that will look like the circles of the sun. And you can actually watch the moon encroach across the sun for the eclipse. And then, you know, you can even see sunspots if they're visible and big enough, too.
Sunspots?
Yeah, these are they look like little storms, but they're actually pretty gigantic. They're like planet-sized storms that appear on the sun. And through safety glasses, they look like little black dots. So you would see those in the projection, too.
So at SUNY Oneonta, you're going to be outside with a disco ball for viewing the eclipse. And disco balls have many mirrors, so you would have lots of eclipses in the image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which makes it totally fun. If you spin the disco ball, they kind of dance around. It'll be really, really cool to see.
Where do I sign up for a ticket?
Well, you can just show up. Our event is free. People can find more information on our website shortly, but we're going to have an event in pretty much every science center and college with an astronomy program across New York State is going to have an event. So even if you're not near Oneonta, you know, just look up your local science center and see what they're doing, especially if you're Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Watertown, Plattsburgh, those areas. Those are the ones in totality where you have that 2.5 minutes where you actually can look safely up at the sun and see the corona and all the beautiful stars right there during the day.
Now, I was reading the description on your page at SUNY Oneonta, and it said that you work on exoplanet research. Say what now?
Yeah, so exoplanets are planets that orbit other stars around the sky. So basically imagine going outside, looking up at any of the stars in the sky. Many of them probably have planetary systems around them, just like our solar system. And we have some telescopes on campus, including the largest optical telescope in New York State, where we can actually photograph the stars and detect when an exoplanet crosses in front of them and measure things like the size and whether or not it's a rocky or a gas giant planet. So my students and I are trying to contribute to this area by finding more exoplanetary systems and also learning about the properties of the ones that we already know about.
My mind gets blown thinking about astronomy. I mean, if I think about the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, I can handle that. You get into Cassiopeia, it gets a little more complicated. But when they talk about the billions of light years and getting to the edge of the known universe and expanding how do you think in terms that huge about distance and size and stuff?
It's hard, you know, and every year my introductory astronomy class goes through that same kind of mental crisis that we all go through of, you know, the universe is so big and I'm just so small. And, you know, we try and make analogies where possible, but there's just so much out there in outer space and so much we still have left to learn.
Now, when I think of public education about astronomy and exoplanet research, how can I do this interview without asking about Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Of course.
So I know he bills himself now as an astrophysicist rather than astronomer. And I heard him say once that it's because astronomer was too close to the word astrologer.
Yep. You know, back thousands of years ago, astronomy and astrology were kind of one in the same. It was just the studies of the skies. But now we know so much more and we really can focus on the science aspect of it. So we all like to kind of call ourselves astrophysicists because it really enforces the science and stays away from the astrology.
Getting back to the eclipse, I just wanted to ask, are there any weird effects in nature on birds or animals during the moments of totality?
Definitely. Basically, when you're in totality, it gets dark for 2 to 4 minutes. And, you know, the animals especially, you know, they sense the encroaching darkness and they feel like it's nighttime. So whatever, you know, nightly patterns the animals have, you know, at the farm, the animals will often walk back towards the barn, the birds will quiet down. That type of thing is seen in nature all the time. And then there's always that slight sense of confusion right afterwards where it seems like nighttime only lasted a few minutes and then the animals kind of go back to their normal routine. But it does seem to kind of quiet things down and just, you know, influence nature in a really spectacular way.
I'm so glad I asked. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So again, this is Valerie Rapson, Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy and astrophysicist at SUNY Oneonta. And if you want to meet her live, she will be at the Friends of Five Rivers annual meeting on Saturday, February 3rd from 2 to 4 p.m. Valerie, I was so glad to meet you. Have a good eclipse.
Yes, thank you. I hope everyone will get a chance to get outside and enjoy it.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.